The anti-refugee sentiment across Europe helped cause a power shift in Poland this past October. The right-wing nationalist Law and Justice Party won elections there and is now being accused of weakening and in some cases dismantling many of the country's democratic institutions. That includes the military leadership, the state media, even the highest judicial body in the country called the Constitutional Court. Kim Lane Shipley is professor of international affairs at the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University. She says Poland's power grab is exposing weaknesses in the larger European Union and that it's a move taken straight from a familiar playbook.
So Poland is actually following in the footsteps of Hungary and also Romania. In both cases, what you had were governments whose leaders decided essentially that they didn't want rotation of power to ever occur again, that they wanted to stay in power forever and they wanted their political parties to stay in power forever. So it started in Hungary with Viktor Orban's government that was elected in 2010. And he launched a takeover of all the independent institutions in Hungary, putting loyalists into all of them, concentrating power, basically setting up a system so that it would be impossible for the opposition ever to come back into power again. And then Victor Ponta in Romania, who, by the way, is on the left, not on the right, tried to do the same thing by ousting the president of the country, who was from a different party. And now you see Poland following suit. And what's very interesting is that all of the leaders of all of these three countries that I just mentioned are all lawyers. In fact, I call this the problem of the lawyers in chief, that you've got lawyers and what they do is they use the law to gain power, to concentrate power, and to rewrite the rules so that no one else can come to power. We've seen it play out in Hungary, and now we're seeing a grab in Poland that looks a whole lot more like the grab for power in Hungary. And one of the questions is whether the Polish revolution, this sort of constitutional revolution, will succeed.
Is there a danger to the EU here? There's a broad consensus within the European Union countries about respect for constitutional institutions, checks and balances, those types of things. There's certainly room for political changes. We've seen that. Does the EU have a say here? And if not, does that drive Poland back towards the east?
Well, when all of these countries joined in 2004, these post-communist countries, many of their populations thought the EU would prevent them from sliding back into a dictatorship again. But now that we've seen these changes in Hungary and now Poland, what you see is that the EU's powers to actually change the internal affairs of member states are very limited. Countries were checked on their way in the door to join the EU by, you know, demonstrating when they joined that they were democracies and respected rule of law and had protections for human rights. All that was checked when they came in the door. But now we see that there's no mechanism for checking any of these countries' continued adherence to those principles once they're in. So it's very much a crisis like the euro crisis, or for that matter, like the migration crisis this summer, open borders but no common immigration policy, where the EU builds in sort of a half-baked institution. And to make it fully baked, you'd need a kind of integration that the other member states won't put up with.
Can the European Union threaten expulsion or sanction? Is there any step they can take, or do they just have to sit and watch with alarm?
You'd think that if you have a misbehaving member state, that the EU could throw them out. But the fact is, in the European treaties, there is no mechanism for throwing out a misbehaving state. And in fact, its tools are very limited. In fact, right now, there's not even an easy way for the EU to cut the substantial funding it gives to these member states that are misbehaving. There are really no sanctions built into the EU system right now that are very clearly designed for this kind of purpose. So at the moment, since there are no sanctions built for this purpose, the European Commission is trying desperately to figure out what it can do. And we're all hoping that it actually improvises something because this is now a disease that's spreading.
In terms of the refugee crisis, one of the effects of what's happening in Poland, and this isn't a surprise, is that the new government has reversed any of the decisions of the previous government to take in Middle Eastern refugees. How much pressure is this putting on the rest of Europe, notably on Germany, which is having its own trouble placing all of the many thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds, of refugees that it's agreed to take?
Yes. Well, right now, actually, just this week, the 1 millionth refugee entered the EU. And Poland has now decided it's not going to take any after the previous government committed it to taking some. But it's not alone in this regard. The so-called Visegrad states, Poland, Slovakia, Czech Republic and Hungary have all actually refused to take any additional refugees. So the EU, again, has a big crisis on its hands because it can't really fight so many different countries at the same time.
Professor Shepley, you made it clear that the EU has very few tools, sanctions, things that it can do to intervene or force Poland or Hungary to rethink some of these politics. But you also said that change of power is normal in democracy. Is waiting it out an option, as painful as that is, waiting 8 to 10 years and sort of enticing Poland and or Hungary and other countries in the East back into the fold with new elections?
Certainly that's been our hope, that elections will result in more sane policies from each of these countries. But the worry about Poland and Hungary is that in both cases, there's been a massive assault on the constitutional structure itself. And this massive assault on the constitutional structure means that you can't necessarily count on elections actually fixing things. So if we take Hungary, which started on this troublesome course in 2010, the Hungarian government rewrote all the election laws so that when they came up for election in 2014 with substantially diminished support, they nonetheless won back their constitutional supermajority because they'd managed to rewrite all the rules. Now, the current government in Poland has only been in power for 2 months, but when you see them starting to dismantle the operation of the Constitutional Court, they've taken over the leadership of the military, they're just about to launch a major assault on public broadcasting and the media. It's the same kind of disabling of all the checks on their power that one can take as a danger signal. Because what they're trying to do is to set up a government that provides absolutely no barriers to them doing absolutely anything. And if that's the case, then what's to prevent them from, again, rigging the election law so that they will win any conceivable election? Once that happens, you can't really count on elections fixing the problem.
The right-wing Nationalist Law and Justice Party in power in Poland, replicating a playbook already used in Hungary and in other cases, and spreading a crisis throughout the EU. Professor Kim Lane Shepley of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.